For the last several weeks, we've been talking about the process of what it comes to, is involved in the experience of receiving God's healing in our lives. You may remember the first week we spoke of, the first Sunday of Lent, we spoke of the need to first name the sin or the wound. To be able to name the sin, and if it's one's personal sin, to be able to come to repentance for it. Or to name the wound, the source of the hurt that one carries in one's life. After that, of course, we spoke of the need to come to a point of forgiveness for one's sin, receiving the sacrament of reconciliation, receiving God's forgiveness, perhaps taking the next step of being able to forgive oneself, because so often we think that our sin is so great that even God can't forgive. And yet it's not God who's withholding the forgiveness, but that we are. Or sometimes, and I guess it's probably the most difficult, is that when we've been the victim of another's sin or bad choices, of being able to extend forgiveness to that person. Recognizing that to forgive the actions of another is not the same as excusing them. Of course, it doesn't stop there. We have to also get to a point of being able to renounce the hold that sin, that evil, that hurt has in one's life. To renounce it and then take authority over it in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, we can never really let something go until we've renounced whatever the sin is, whatever the hurt is, and whatever the effects are that tend to linger, to really come to a point of being able to claim a full healing. And in this week, the final, and I would say ongoing step, is to claim the blessing of the Father. To claim the blessing of the Father that God wants you to have. I have a friend who was a college classmate, and he told the story many years ago about how, as a high school student, for several years he had had an affliction with his back that caused him to have to wear a back brace. And you can imagine as a teenager how awkward that was for him. You know, when you're trying to put out a certain image, he was somewhat embarrassed by it. But the interesting thing in this story is that one evening, he had been invited to a healing service. And at the healing service, a team prayed with him. And he talks about how, as they prayed for him, he felt a warmth and a tingling coming over his body. Actually, particularly over the area of his back. Now, he didn't throw off the back brace. He didn't get up and shout, "Oh, I'm healed, it's a miracle." As a matter of fact, he went home still wearing the back brace. Although the next morning he found that a lot of the pain that he was used to feeling every morning when he got up wasn't there. But nonetheless, he continued to wear the back brace until he went to his doctor for the next time to be checked. Well, the doctor said, "Well, let's take a look at it. You seem to not have that pain. Let's see what's going on there." So he did the x-rays or whatever the test may have been. And the doctor tells him, he says, "I really can't explain it. But there's no sign of the disease." And I can't remember what the disease was. "There's no sign of it in your back. It's as if it had never been there at all." And he told him, "You don't have to wear that back brace anymore." Well, he goes to school the next day and people notice he's not wearing his brace because it was a pretty obvious device that he was wearing around. And he shared with me, he says, you know, I was embarrassed, almost ashamed, to tell people what I had experienced. They said, so why aren't you wearing the brace? And he said, my back fixed itself. My back fixed itself. It took him a while to be able to come to claim the blessing that had been bestowed on him in his healing. Because he was afraid of, as awkward as it was to be able to wear that back brace, at least the way he felt, it was more awkward for him to be able to say, God healed me. God restored me. Because he was afraid a worse label would be placed on him. Religious nut or fanatic. You know, the last several weeks we've heard Jesus pronounce forgiveness to the woman at the well. That doesn't really shock us, does it? Jesus was a rather forgiving guy. Last week, the man born blind was healed. He's regained his sight, or gains his sight for the first time. We're like, wow, that's magnificent. But today, what do we see? He raises the guy from the dead. That's unbelievable, isn't it? Because we've heard of cases where people had their sight restored. But how many times do we hear of people being brought back to life after they've been in their grave for several days? So, you know, the temptation for us can be to, well, that's a nice story and so forth, but let's tear it down a little bit. As I prayed over that reading, and I'd encourage you this week to reread it again, because there's a lot in there, a lot that I found rather peculiar. Number one, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick. He's dying. Now think about it for a moment. You get that kind of word. How do you respond? I don't know about you, but I would drop everything and try to get there to the side of my sick friend. What did Jesus do? Let's go back to Judea. Let's hang out here for a couple more days. What? That's a little nuts, isn't it? Why would you wait? And then they get there. And he starts spewing off, he's asleep, and they don't get it. They said, well, if he's just asleep, it's okay. And he says, no, no, he's dead. And then he's confronted by Martha. Remember Martha, Mary, Lazarus was their brother. Martha, tell Mary to get in the kitchen and help me. Martha never let a thought or a feeling be left unspoken. And she's right out there meeting him on the edge of the village. And it's almost you could see her pointing her finger at him and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd been here, we wouldn't have gone through the anguish of his sickness and watching him die and going through his funeral. Why weren't you here? You ever have that feeling? You think about it. Something happens to you. You experience rejection, some sort of abuse, disrespect, some trauma. Don't we want to cry out, where was God in all of that? The skeptic really loves to use that line, right? If God is so great, why are people dying? Why are people starving? Why do we have war? Where is God if God is so powerful? That's pretty much what Martha was saying, right? If you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. And sometimes we experience more the absence of God than the presence of God when we're hurting, don't we? Because we get consumed by our own pain, our own suffering. Sometimes our own guilt at the bad choices, the sins that we've committed. It's like we can't see God, we can't find God, we can't experience God in the midst of that. And that was where Martha was at the time. Now again, if that were me, and I'm a far cry from being Jesus Christ, my instinct would have been, Martha, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I couldn't get here. Some things came up in Judea. They actually tried to kill me, and I ran away, and then we kind of went back to the town and hung out for two more days just to see if they could get me. I mean, how do you explain that to a grieving sister? But what does he say? I'm glad I wasn't here. You're glad you weren't there? Because Jesus knew something. That all that pain, all that suffering, even that death was going to serve a higher purpose. Just like he told the blind man, it wasn't his sin, it was that God could be glorified. And then listen to the words. He goes over to that tomb, that cave hewn out of rock. Turn away the stone. Lazarus, come out. Untie him. Set him free. Isn't that what God's really saying to each of us when we're holding on to our wounds that fester, our sins that we think that God can't even forgive? Remove the stone. Come out. Be unbound. Be untied. Be free. That was the struggle of the Israelites as they were exiting Egypt. You see, when God heals, it's not because he's just a divine physician. God heals because of a relationship that he has, that he wants to have with you. And that is a father to a son, to a daughter. It's a familial, paternal relationship. Why does God want to heal you? Because God so very much loves you. That's the bottom line, and yet sometimes we put up the walls there. Now, please don't hear me as saying that any little ache or pain that we have, that if God doesn't heal us, that somehow, if that's not taken away, that somehow God doesn't like us very much. It's not always instantaneous, and sometimes our suffering or our pain serves a higher purpose, whatever it might be. Sometimes people who experience those, what we would see as limitations, become heroes. When you look and see what they can do. I saw this video very recently of a teenage boy who was a victim of a failed abortion. He was born without legs and today is a star wrestler at his high school. Was it because God didn't love him? No, God filled him. And his healing didn't have to be that the legs grew back. It's that he was able to respond to God's grace and be able to live beyond what anybody would think his potential might be. He was written off from the time he came forth into the world. But God's healing was greater than that. You see, when we're in pain, when we're suffering, that really is really the temptation of just turning in on ourselves. And that is the definition of selfishness. And that's not meant to be judgy. But that's what we do. That's what I do anyway. You know, I shared with you several weeks ago, when I got called into the Archbishop's office and he asked me to take an assignment down at the Archdiocese, all I could see was what I was being asked to give up, not the potential of what God might be calling me to. It's like God was asking me to go into this cloud, walk into it blind as I was going to be walking over a cliff. And in the days after that, as I had to give the Archbishop an answer, my answer would have been no right away. But the man was benevolent enough to say, no, take some time, pray about it, think about it. Can I say no? Absolutely you can say no. What if I say no? We'll start over. I don't know what that meant. But he wasn't going to twist my arm. But I remember the one day I was over in the chapel in the rectory. I'd exposed the Blessed Sacrament and I was just crying because all I could feel was the pain of what was going to be in terms of separating from my parish. And I was like, I'm going into this cloud of something I don't even know, something I don't feel like I'm even qualified for. Am I going to be walking over a cliff? And I heard God speaking to me loud and clear. Is that what you think of me? Is that what you think of me? That I'd set you up for that? Is that what a father does to his son or his daughter? And it was then that I could come to peace and say, there's something bigger here. I got to get away from my selfishness and what's all about me and my wants to what God might be able to use me for. And I still don't know what that means. You know, when we build up those walls and get too comfortable with our woundedness, it's like we're wasting our suffering. We think there's nothing better. Even though with what we're experiencing isn't all that great, we think there's nothing better. That was the story of the Israelites. It was God saying, stop acting like slaves. Don't go back to Egypt. I've got a promised land for you. But you keep wanting to look back. And what's in that rearview mirror isn't all that great. Stop dwelling on it. Look ahead. God wants to heal you. God loves you so much. Do we think for 1 minute the love between the Father and Son was compromised during Holy Week? Yeah, Jesus had his moment. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if there's any way, other way we can accomplish what needs to be accomplished that doesn't involve my pain and my suffering and my death, I'm all in. But what did he say? Not my will, but your will be done. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste your suffering. Let God's healing take place. And be ready to claim and announce the blessing of the Father. Because that's what he wants for you. And be ready that the healing may not be what you think it is, but what it is that you really need. If you just open yourself and let down the defenses. It's not our power that breaks us free, that sets us free. It's the power of God. A God who loves you, a God who chooses you, and a God, even when he might seem so far away or even absent, never leaves you alone. So my friends, it's real simple. You just have to open your heart and let God break you free.